Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. The cruise liner Orient Queen has arrived in Cyprus with about 1,000 Americans on board. They left Beirut earlier today. Officials estimate about 8,000 Americans still want to escape Beirut and other places in Lebanon, and they're waiting for a way out. Israeli military officials say warplanes dropped 23 tons of explosives at a bunker in South Beirut where senior Hezbollah leaders were believed to be hiding. But Hezbollah has issued a statement saying none of its leaders or members was killed in the huge bombing raid. This is not the first time Israel has tried to take out the top man at Hezbollah. Last Friday, Israeli warplanes destroyed both his home and the group's headquarters, but he escaped. A forgotten war is what one Palestinian lawmaker is calling the situation in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. For 3 weeks, Israel's been fighting there since Hamas militants crossed the border and captured a soldier. But then Israel found itself being attacked by Hezbollah in Lebanon, and since then, world attention has largely been focused there. Palestinian leaders are now calling for international intervention. 12 Palestinians died in airstrikes and fighting today. Israel also sent in tanks and bulldozers that demolished a Palestinian security compound and other government buildings in Nablus. A federal judge today overturned a Maryland law that would have required Walmart to spend more on employee health care. The judge ruled the retail giant faces threatened injury from the spending requirement in the law. The state law would have forced large employers to spend at least 8% of payroll on health care or pay the difference in taxes, but only Walmart would actually have been affected by the law. The Pledge of Allegiance, specifically the two words under God, are the focus of a bill approved in the House today. It would keep federal courts from deciding if the pledge is unconstitutional. Supporters want to stop federal judges from taking the pledge out of America's classrooms because of the phrase under God. The Democratic leader in the House, Nancy Pelosi, calls the bill an all-out assault on the Constitution. George Bush's first-ever veto on the stem cell issue will stand. The Senate sided with stem cell research supporters, but the vote was four short of the two-thirds needed to override. The Senate failed in a vote to override the Bush veto. One senator says that George Bush made an unfortunate choice for his first veto. New York Senator Charles Schumer says that will rob many people of hope. This is Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley.
stem cells come from human embryos that are destroyed for their cells. Each of these human embryos is a unique human life. These boys and girls are not spare parts.
It's about 7 past the hour. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Yeah, that was Chuckle Nuts giving people a definition of stem cell research and where they come from. Invaluable biology lesson there. Bush, therefore, or thusly, continues his war on science with another gift to Rick Santorum and the big pharmaceutical companies with his very first ever veto of stem cell research, stem cell research funding. It's almost like, look, Mama growed up, vetoing and everything. The last thing pharmaceutical companies want is anybody actually curing or genetically avoiding diseases. Can't have that. Pharmaceutical industry? Can't have that. And speaking of King George, yesterday Alberto Gonzalez confirmed that Bush stopped the Justice Department's investigation into the illegal wiretapping program that he authorized. Now, that's some nice oversight, right? These Bush bastards keep talking about how there's oversight. No, there isn't. Unless this is it. It's good to be the king. We'll have that in Gonzalez's own words. And while Lebanon is exploding, courtesy of the Israeli military, is anybody watching Iraq? The deaths there are now topping 100 a day. And the focus, of course, has shifted. What a bloody, just a massively bloody legacy Bush is creating. It's astonishing what this vampire has done. Wow. If that's not enough to get you upset, let me share this with you from one of our listeners in, I don't know where Prairie 2 lives. I assume for a while that he or she lived in New Orleans, maybe not. Anyway, Prairie 2 writes into me and says, hey, Mike, another tragedy is unfolding in New Orleans. Doctors and nurses accused of murdering terminal patients who could not be moved are facing life in prison. Confronted with impossible choices, no oxygen, no drugs, no equipment, no lights, no police protection, and no help coming. They could have moved these people down 7 flights of stairs on the backs of orderlies with no safe haven to go to. That would have tortured these hopeless patients to death. They could have left them behind in 100-degree heat among rotting corpses, attacked by biting flies whose maggots will hatch in their flesh within hours, floodwaters forcing rat snakes, rummaging drug addicts, and wandering crazies into the hospital. Anybody who stayed behind with them would have been at extreme risk themselves and would be diverting help from the gravely ill patients who could be saved. Instead, doctors and nurses humanely spared them a living hell and a horrible death. Did they cross the line? No. The line was drawn in behind them by the Bush crime family. Emergency room doctors decide every day who will get treatment and who will die. It's called triage. They made a decision under impossible conditions. Right or wrong, somebody had to. The charge of murder requires malicious intent. The Bush crime family deliberately withheld help and stopped state, cities, and volunteers from helping. The Bush crime family acted with malicious intent to further their own interests. The list of obstructions is endless. The governor of Iowa had generators big enough to run the Superdome loaded on cargo planes before the storm ended. They sat on the runway in Iowa unused. The city of Chicago tried to send 200 emergency trucks and 600 men. They were turned back. A convoy of with hundreds of airboats from Florida turned back. 1,800 firefighters diverted to Atlanta to do PR, and on and on and on. There are those who deserve life in prison from this, but not the people who will get it. Yeah, I agree. The Bush administration, the Bush crime family, has this uncanny ability to turn bad situations into massive morgues, into collection points for death and destruction, whether it's old people or children, middle-aged people. It doesn't matter. It's astonishing to understand the capacity that the Bush crime family has for death. You know, I've talked about it on this program. It's become part of my signature assessment of the Bush crime family, and therefore it gets lost. I guess a lot of times it just sounds like some, you know, cavalier statement on my part. But it is so true. This Bush administration, these people, if you could come up with out of your stoned, drunken, nightmarish imagination of an administration whose deliberate attempts to end life here and abroad could be more whacked than George Bush and his killers. I'd like to know how that could be. I can see this as a movie plot, as a novel storyline, as an object in a improvisational theater play. An administration comes into power. It's based on death and destruction, and it just sows death and destruction the way a farmer sows seed to bring in corn or soybeans. This is unbelievable. Unbelievable. I get the willies when I think about this guy. I have to be very careful. Sometimes, you know, we go home at night. Kathy usually falls asleep 2:30 in the morning. Sometimes it takes me till 3:30. And I lay there and have television on in the bedroom, sound way down, and I have to keep flipping through the channels. Yeah, give me something on Turner Network Television. Give me something on some old movie or something to warp time. Get me out of the here and now. Let's pretend it's the 30s in Casablanca, or you know whatever, the 40s in the gold country hills in Mexico. You know, just get me out of the here and now. Man, you feel that way? No? It's very clear now that Bush, according to the Washington Post today, you know this, Bush blocked a Justice Department investigation of the NSA's warrantless surveillance program. It was Bush who refused to give security clearances to attorneys who were attempting to conduct the probe. This is according to Attorney General and willful torturer Alberto Gonzalez. Yeah, he was in front of the Senate yesterday, Senate committee, and just more or less once again gave him a middle finger and said, you know, you don't like this, kiss our collective asses. You know, this is the way we do business in the Bush administration. Now, as the Washington Post puts it, Bush's decision to tell everybody shut up represents an unusually direct and unprecedented White House intervention into an investigation by the Office of Professional Responsibility, or OPR. That's the Internal Affairs Office at the Justice Department. It forced OPR, the Post says, to abandon its investigation of the role Justice Department officials played in authorizing and monitoring the NSA eavesdropping effort. In testimony yesterday to the Senate Judiciary Committee, Gonzalez said that in matters involving access to classified programs, the president makes the decision now. You want to hear it? Let's play it. You got time? Okay, go ahead. Play it. This is yesterday's Judiciary Committee hearing. Gonzalez, the torturer, confirmed what we all suspected. It's good to be the king. This is Arlen Specter.
Now, when you had the first line of review, Mr. Attorney General, by OPR, why wasn't OPR given clearance, as so many other lawyers in the Department of Justice were given clearance?
Mr. Chairman, you and I had lunch several weeks ago, and we had a discussion about this. And during the luncheon, I did inform you that that the terrorist surveillance program is a highly classified program. It's a very important program for the history of this country.
Highly classified, very important. Many other lawyers in the Department of Justice had clearance. Why not OPR?
And the President of the United States makes decisions about who is ultimately
given. Did the President make the decision not to clear OPR?
As with all decisions that are non-operational in terms of who has access to the program, the President of the United States makes the decisions, because this is such an important program.
I want to move on to another subject. President makes a decision. That's that.
Yeah, well, Arlen, Come on. That's the way it's run in a dictatorship or a monarchy. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
I don't email, however. There's a reason. I don't want you reading my personal stuff.
But I want to read yours! Jesus God. Oh, I haven't mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people. Oh, my God. All right, so there's no doubt. There's no doubt that Cheney was the one that turned the dogs loose on Valerie Plame. Bush is the one who prevented an investigation that allegedly he called for, or the Justice Department called for. These people are gangsters. They really are. Every single person in the Bush crime family is a thug, a gangster, and a killer. There's, it's almost redundant. In saying that, the Bush crime family equals Murder Incorporated. That's who they are. They have to be removed from office. Gosh, I hope that happens. The Senate voted yesterday to 63 to 37, not veto proof, but almost 2-1. be careful, Mike. Two-thirds of the Senate voted to approve a stem cell research bill. Stem cells, undifferentiated embryonic stem cells, and the source of these stem cells was to be, I understand there's something like 200,000 of these things sitting in liquid nitrogen, in cylinders in liquid nitrogen, and they're just waiting to be thrown in the garbage. Those were going to be used for the research, and of course the Bush bastard being just trying to pay back his base, to show his base that he really is a Christian, he said, no, I'm not going to do it. So his first veto is on the stem cell research bill. Now, it was passed by the House last year, so both 60% of the American public supports this. The only people who don't support it are religious nutballs who believe in suffering, who believe in death and suffering, death especially, but suffer first, because Jesus suffered on the cross, so everybody else has to suffer. Any cures for any diseases? No. If God didn't want these diseases here, he wouldn't have sat in his little chemistry set cubicle in heaven and invented these diseases, you see? So in finding cures, you are thwarting God's will or something like that. I mean, it makes no sense to me, this religious superstitious nonsense. It makes no sense to me. But so what? The vote would allow spending for research, federal spending, on these stem cell lines derived from frozen embryos that are stored at fertility clinics and slated for destruction. So they will be destroyed anyway. You know, all these little snowflake babies are going to be flushed down a toilet. instead of their little hands and fingers and eyeballs and hair. What, they don't have that? Oh, okay. To find cures for diseases. This is sick stuff. It really is. Now, the veto ensures, Bush's veto ensures that stem cell research will be a front and center issue during the months leading to the November midterm elections. That's what this is all about. Has nothing whatsoever to do with actual research to extend human life or cure illnesses and diseases. No. It's strictly, as everything with these murderous bastards is, everything has to do with the next election. So this way, the right-wing crazies can get out there and say, well, see, we stopped the murder of more little babies. God, I hate these people. Now, as the Washington Post says, while the veto pleases socially conservative voters that the Republican Party needs to maintain control of the Senate and the House, it angers many other groups of voters. Harry Reid, the Senate Minority Leader, said, quote, President Bush defied the will of the American people and crushed the hopes of millions who suffer from serious and debilitating diseases like cancer, diabetes, Alzheimer's, Lou Gehrig's, and Parkinson's, end quote. Well, that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. French researchers, British researchers, unless they are thwarted by Bush's lapdog, Blair, German researchers, Dutch researchers, Norwegian researchers, Australian researchers, Canadian researchers. You see, these folks will continue with the science and let America sit here and suck down into this religious cesspool of insanity. So the cures will be coming. It just means that it won't be available as a result of American research. The only way it will be, American government-sponsored research, where the funding is provided by all of us in the form of our tax dollars. It won't be done that way. You know, these are our tax dollars. We're the ones that contribute the money, but Bush is the one that decides whether or not it's going to be spent for something as abominable as medical research. Can't have that. You know, again, suffering is, death is what these people are about. Suffering is the corollary to their statements and their attitudes around death. Death is an acceptable part of life, as we all know, but there must be suffering first. So that's what this is about. Now, speaking of snowflakes, Bush spoke in front of a room of them today, and we'll play that for you when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
I'm so busy at work, Dr. Phil, I don't have any time ever, and I wouldn't know where to look.
Well, don't just sit around whining about what you don't have. Go out and create what and who you wish was in your life.
Somehow I knew you were going to say that.
Look, don't dream, do. Don't want, get.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
felt it was best to stand on principle, and that is taxpayers' money to use for the use of experimentation that would destroy life. It's a principle that violates something. It's a position that violates a principle of mine.
Yeah, it's Bush has no problem killing 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, and on and on and on. The death of those people is fine. Of those children is fine. If their arms are blown off, their faces blown off, their little intestines ripped open, they are referred to as collateral damage or tough or you know, whatever. But blastocysts and undifferentiated cells that are lying dormant inside of an embryo. No. That's precious, and Jesus loves that. But Jesus hates Iraqi babies and Palestinian babies and Lebanese babies and wherever, you know, wherever babies are blown up by American ordnance, those babies deserve to die. Those children deserve to die. And if they can be made dead painfully and in deep anguish, that's good, because, you know, Jesus suffered on the cross too. So that's what that's all about. But the, undifferentiated cells in an embryo, the consciousness of those cells, they are conscious, aren't they? That is to be spared. This is a sick man. This is a degenerate man, this George Bush. From Nancy in Ohio, Mike, I'm truly disgusted by the actions of a few lawmakers and a president who simply cannot understand the implications of his first veto of this presidency. How can I, as a mother of two young daughters, 6 and 8, explain that the president would rather throw these blastocysts in the garbage then use them to try to find a cure for my multiple sclerosis? How can I, as someone living with this time bomb ticking inside me, make any sense of this? How can I live with myself when I realize that I did not yell loudly enough, fight hard enough, or demand enough? The only way I can sleep tonight is that I can honestly say that George W. Bush would never have listened to, empathized with, or felt any compassion for me. There is truly nothing that I could have done to change this decision. I can only take this as one more reason to act, to give, and vote to change the course of the Congress this November. Please don't drop the stem cell issue. I won't, Nancy. From Meg, Mike, as I understand it, 50% of these snowflakes die when they are thawed. It also takes an average of 12 snowflakes to be implanted before one of them sticks, gestates, becomes a fetus, then a baby. So if each of these little cell blobs is a baby, why aren't these so-called adoptive parents all being prosecuted? If I adopted 12 babies and then allowed 11 of them to die, I'd be in jail for life. From Patrick in New Jersey. At 38 years old, with a spinal cerebral degenerative disorder, the promise that human embryonic stem cell research to normalize and extend my life is obvious. Bush's continued actions, however, threatens my life. What in the hell am I supposed to do? Well, you had it in your subject line, Patrick, which I'm not going to mention on the air, but I can't mention it on the air, but just between you and me. I agree. All right, so here's the Bush bastard celebrating undifferentiated blobs of cells over the lives and consciousness of living humans. And keep in mind that this unconscionable bastard has no problem whatsoever unleashing just hellfire destruction on children wherever, in whatever country, whatever society this sick bastard decides to attack, or whatever society this sick bastard decides should be attacked by one or more of our allies. Here he is, using one of his favorite backdrops, live babies, continuing his war on science and medicine. Now, you'll need to pardon the squealing snowflakes in the background. There was a room full of saved frozen embryos around the podium.
In this new era, our challenge is to harness the power of science to ease human suffering without sanctioning the practices that violate the dignity of human life. This bill would support the taking of innocent human life in the hope of finding medical benefits for others.
Mm.
It crosses a moral boundary
mm-hmm.
that our decent society needs to respect, so I vetoed it.
Well, yes, you did veto it, George. But the babies that are in that room with you, the toddlers, I have one of those, George. And if my daughter were conscious enough, she would probably puke all over your ugly face because of what you did today. We're not talking about snowflakes and babies and what we're talking about, you sick old bastard. I'll tell you what, George, wait until that vampirish beast of a mother of yours develops Alzheimer's and starts drooling all over herself, or worse yet, just sitting there staring for the next 25 years. Wait till that happens, George. Wait till that old bat of a mother of yours gets Alzheimer's. Bet you change your mind. Now what you'll probably do is what most hypocritical religious right thugs do when their daughters get pregnant or their wives need a certain treatment or they need a certain treatment. They go to a country where stem cell research is progressing nicely, thank you, and get the injections, right? Last one from Manor Monkey on this issue. Here, Raisin Brain explains the science for us because he has such an astute comprehension of research microbiology. It's like an azimuth to him.
Embryonic stem cells have the ability to grow into specialized adult tissues.
Oh, yeah?
And this may give them the potential to replace damaged or defective cells or body parts and treat a variety of diseases.
Really?
Yet we must also remember that embryonic stem cells come from human embryos that are destroyed for their cells.
Oh.
Each of these human embryos is a unique human life with inherent dignity and matchless value.
So is my sperm.
We see that value in the children who are with us today. Each of these children was adopted while still an embryo and has been blessed with the chance to grow up in a loving family. These boys and girls are not spare parts.
Each of these children, he says, was adopted while still an embryo. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. Each of the embryos eggs that are harvested and then fertilized with sperm, some of which survive, some of which don't, some of which are implanted inside a woman's uterus, some of which then immediately die, some of which die a month or two later. The ones that George Bush had his grubby, filthy hands on are not adopted children. They are not adopted embryos. They are the result of the very science that this sick bastard is trying to deny people for the curing of diseases and for the understanding of how these degenerative diseases happen. So if Bush were not a hypocrite, if these right-wingers were not hypocrites, the babies that you hear in that room would not be there, because the very science, the very medical breakthroughs that Bush now tries to prevent other people from enjoying are what produced these living children. These are not undifferentiated cells that are gooing and curgling and yelping in the room. Those are children, and George W. Bush can't tell the difference. So, of the 200,000 or 100,000 fertilized embryos, if that's the proper way to say, embryos that are sitting in containers surrounded by liquid nitrogen around this country in fertility clinics, if every single one of those is not used, then whoever, according to Bush's brain-dead take on all this, whoever flushes them is committing murder. Whoever allows them to die is committing murder. What about all of those snowflakes who will never be snowflakes? What do you call them, George? Slush? What do you call the snowflakes that don't get adopted? What do you call that? Garbage? I just can't. James in Wisconsin writes this. Mike Alaskarov convinced King Bush that Beto is not a mafia hitman from a rival crime family. So our royal monkey gathered his drooling minions, whipped out his official name, sign, and pen. the only pen in the world with spell check, and rode to the rescue of all the snowflakes in the kingdom. Well, not exactly rescue, since the majority of snowflakes are destined for the container marked medical waste. Sadly, a term infused with new meaning thanks to Mr. Bush. But for those who still don't get it, we need to roll back the tape to yesterday, when our king explained to reporters why America would not engage diplomatically to broker a ceasefire between Hezbollah and Israel. As our leader patiently explained, quote, sometimes it requires tragic situations to help bring clarity in the international community, end quote. As the Johnny Appleseed of tragedy, King Bush knows what he's talking about, even when he's inadvertently revealing the truth. Indeed, between the tragedy of the Middle East bloodbath and the heartbreaking veto of the hopes of suffering patients, there is a crystal clarity today. Saving innocent lives rests solely on our king's political needs. Perhaps Mr. Bush has a plan to harvest stem cells from dead Lebanese children. There's a no-bid contract there just waiting to be had. And for the rabid Christian base, it's a doubleheader sweep. Israel runs wild and the snowflakes are saved. Praise Jesus. And the rest of the world? We can clearly go to hell as far as the king is concerned. From James in Kenosha. It just gets darker and darker, doesn't it? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
And the one thing they say about Catholics is they'll take you as soon as you're warm. You don't have to be a big footer. You don't have to have a great brain. You don't have to have any clothes on. You're a Catholic the moment that came. Because every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great. If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
making the pie higher. It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 9 before the hour. Dave writes in, what about the embryos he's blowing up that are in women's wombs? Yeah, well, but Bush is very selective. As James in Kenosha wrote, the only time Bush cares about life is when it is to his political advantage.
I think he ought to make Jenna and Barbara carry 5 or 6 of those puppies. Those little snowflakes over the course of the next decade.
Well,
just have them pop them out. I mean, that there's 12 lives saved right there.
That's true. That's true. But don't hold your breath on that one, Kathy. Alan writes in, Mike, your prediction about the opponents of stem cell research seeking out stem cell cures a few years down the road is way off the mark. I made the same prediction when the controversy started a couple of years back. But it turns out that the fundamentalists are not waiting. They are already seeking out the cures. I was stunned a year or so back to read in the local paper, the Huntsville, Alabama Times, that two men from the general area with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, were traveling to China for something called the aborted fetus cure, which used stem cells derived from aborted fetuses. Both men claimed to be good Baptists, so naturally they had done considerable praying over the matter, and like most religious people, managed to find the answer that justified their actions. I haven't seen any follow-up articles, so I don't have any idea what the outcome was, but it proved that we were right about what was going to happen, but we were off on the timing. You are right that the bastards venerate suffering as long as someone else is doing the suffering. I hate them too. From Alan. Well, of course, you know, the most vocal advocates of, you know, death to the gays, or restrict the gays, or prevent them from living a normal life are people who have members of their family who are gay and who protect them from the very laws and activities that they are advocating for other folks. The people who demand that no abortions be performed. The most vocally are people who make sure that if they're, the women in their families get an unwanted pregnancy going, they have an abortion. And the people who decry the idea of stem cell research, undifferentiated embryonic stem cell research, those folks are the first to take advantage in a different country. You see, where God's not paying attention. You know, China is a officially an atheistic country since it's communist, so therefore God doesn't pay any attention to what goes on over there, right? And the Center for American Progress had a press release. It just says here very quickly, in June, researchers at the Johns Hopkins University used embryonic stem cells to help paralyzed mice walk. Then less than a month later, scientists at the University of California at Los Angeles used stem cells to create T cells, cells that fight disease within the body. A development that could lead to a cure for AIDS. These breakthroughs, together with countless other advances over the past 5 years, demonstrate the tremendous medical potential of stem cell research to save millions of lives. But you see, Bush and his base are not into saving lives. They are not into life at all. They are death worshippers. They are followers of a death cult that originated in the Middle East 2,000 years ago and celebrates blood, death, destruction, and most of all, suffering. Suffer, you son of a bitches. Suffer! Suffer! Tommy in Arlington writes, Mike, my wife and I want kids someday. But the latest developments in the Middle East and here in America are really putting a damper on the idea. With all that is happening in the world, tell me why I should even consider bringing a child into it. That's a good question, and it's one that I considered just about 3 years ago. This Saturday is Molly's second birthday. It's unbelievable. She's an Air America radio baby. When she was 5 days old, we started working for this company. And she has spent every night, as she is now, right now as I speak, just about every night, with maybe out of the past 2 years when we've been on the air, there might have been 5 or 6 nights where she stayed with her grandmother because it was disadvantageous for Kathy and I to bring her to work. But here in the studio, we have a baby bed and we have some toys. And you know, we bring her in here every night. show up about 8 o'clock. We do most of our research on the program before we come in. Show up about 8, 8:30. She gets to play, and we are now locked into Goldilocks and the Three Bears. She has to hear it every night. So while Kathy is finishing up the last details on the show, I will sit in the rocking chair and tell her once again, Goldilocks and the Three Bears. And then I put her down, and she goes to sleep. We wake her up at 1 o'clock in the morning. We're ready to go home. Sometimes she wakes up completely. Sometimes she doesn't. And then we go home. She goes back to sleep. But I mention that because I don't know to what level this child is either going to be a social activist or a screaming maniac, because for 2 years now she has had pumped into her sleep one way or another the rantings and ravings of me and the activities of her mother in producing this show. All of that to get back to the emailer's question, should I bring a child into the world now? If you can love your child, if you have that capacity, and surely you do, my answer is, well, I'll tell you after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
You know how they say that everything that's ever been broadcast on Earth is still traveling through outer space? In the case of Air America Radio, that would sound a little like this. Well, that's a little tough to listen to, right? So we've unraveled a lot of the best shows we've ever done and plopped them on the Internet at Air America Premium. That way you can listen to great moments from Air America shows one at a time. So you could go out in space to hear this stuff, or you can find out more about Air America Premium from the comfort of your own home at airamerica.com.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we'd do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. More than 300 dead, 1,000 wounded, and 500,000 displaced. That is the tally in Lebanon after a week of fighting. U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will be heading to New York tomorrow to discuss the meeting with U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan. State Department spokesman Sean McCormick says Rice and Annan will get a joint briefing on the Middle East situation from the U.N. team that has been in the region. McCormick, though, says there is no update on when Rice will actually head to the Middle East. He says such a trip will be made only when Condoleezza Rice feels she can be useful and helpful. A luxury cruise ship carrying about 1,000 Americans has now arrived in Larnaca, Cyprus from Beirut. According to the State Department, the first of the U.S. chartered airplane flights from Cyprus will be arriving with evacuees tomorrow at Baltimore Washington International Airport. Meanwhile, Americans still waiting to be evacuated from Beirut are being asked to contact the U.S. Embassy and not go to the port themselves. U.S. officials expressing concern about the safety of Americans there. In Baghdad, two rockets exploded today inside the Green Zone, where the U.S. and British embassies are located. According to the U.S. military, one Iraqi died, two others were wounded. It was not the only violence there today. At least 20 people died in bombings and shootings, most of which were in Baghdad, and 16 other bodies turned up in various other parts of Iraq. Another 20 people were kidnapped. They worked for a government agency which takes care of Sunni mosques and shrines. Most, if not all, of the violence is believed linked to sectarian violence between Sunnis and Shiites. In yesterday's primary in Georgia, former Christian coalition leader Ralph Reed was beaten in his attempt to become lieutenant governor. State Senator Casey Cagle took 56% of the vote in the Republican primary after he had pounded away at Ralph Reed's links to disgraced lobbyist Jack Abramoff. Meanwhile, Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney edged her challenger by only 1,500 votes in yesterday's Georgia primary. That forces them into a runoff next month. McKinney is the first black woman in Georgia elected to Congress. She is now looking for a seventh term. In March, she scuffled with a Capitol Hill police officer who didn't recognize her and stopped her as she walked into a House office building. A grand jury declined to indict McKinney. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. My name is Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio. Now, the question comes from Tommy in Arlington, Virginia. Mike, my wife and I want kids someday, but the latest developments in the Middle East and here in America are really putting a damper on the idea. With all that is happening in the world, tell me why I should even consider bringing a child into it. The best answer I can come up with, Tommy, being a grandfather and now a parent of a two-year-old, Molly will be two this Saturday, is that when you create love, whether it's with your wife, or if you're a woman, your husband, or if you're gay, your partner, or if you're a parent, your child, or if you're a child, your parent. When you create love, when you feel that, this is just my little 10-cent worthless opinion. Only I don't think it's worthless. It's not to me. When you create love, when you demonstrate love, when you, in your case, your question about how to demonstrate this love is through your child, by having a child with your wife and loving this baby. When you do that, you unleash a force that is unconquerable. You unleash a force that Bush or any of his cohorts, whether they be here or in Iraq or in Israel or in North Korea or in Iran or I don't care where, these destroyers, you unleash a force that defeats them, that negates the ugliness that these subhumans bring for all of us to have to breathe. And if enough people, I believe, demonstrated love, whether it's having a baby or respecting their partner or loving nature or surrounding their family and their friends and being surrounded with love, true love, not the kind that says, not the tribal love, not the tribal love that says, I love my tribe, but I'll murder the hell out of yours. No. I'm talking about agape, I guess. I don't know. But the love that you feel for that child, Tommy, that you and your wife are going to feel for that child, will be at least, certainly more power than one of Bush's 2,000-pound bunker buster bombs. It really, really, really will. That's the best I can tell you, pal. But I would not refuse to show my love for my spouse or my child or my partner or my parents or whoever it is. I would not refuse to show that love based on the fear that the policies of Bush and these other murderous bastards who seem to be in power all over the globe right now. I lost my train of thought there. That somehow I should defer to their ugliness and not express, in your case, your love with your spouse by producing a baby, a child. And who knows? Your child may be the child who is able to offer up some sort of profundity that the rest of the world will latch onto and say, that's right, that's the answer right there. I don't know. Sorry, I can't be more concrete, let's try Mark. Maybe Mark has the answers. Mark is calling from Phoenix. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey, dittos, Mike, dittos. Listen, the stem cell research, very, very, very bad. Very disappointed with your stand on that issue. Would you rather have a healthy heart or would you rather spend eternity in heaven? You tell me, Michael. Come on, Michael. What's your problem? You atheists are all the same. How can you even talk about love? Atheist doesn't feel love. You think you came out of the dirt and you'll go back to the dirt. What the heck kind of love is that? How about the love of God? That's why George Bush is such a great president. You can feel the love in his heart.
You're kidding, right? Right, Mark?
No, I'm dead serious. And I'll tell you something else, you atheists. You liberals are just not as good as us right-wingers, and you guys are just jealous because we keep winning elections, you keep losing. Now you guys are crying, oh, the election booth is rigged. The election booth isn't rigged. The population's mind is rigged. Rigged to vote for Republicans, and that's what we're going to keep doing.
Does Bush love you?
I think so. I really, you know what? He's made some mistakes. I'm not crazy about the immigration issue, and I don't like some of the other things he's done. But overall, he's been a wonderful man, a wonderful president, and I'm proud of him. And Mike, you atheist, how can you talk about love? Atheists don't feel love.
Hey, Mark, does Bush call you on the phone?
No, not really. I wish he did. I'd love to meet the man, shake his hand, congratulate him. He's made some mistakes. I don't like immigration. I don't like some other things he's done. But I'll tell you something. He's been the best president this country has ever seen. God bless George Bush. God bless Newt Gingrich. God bless them all. And you atheist, liberal, democratic swine, you're going to lose in 2006 and you're going to lose in 2008 because nobody wants some wimpy Democrat in office. Remember that.
You left out baby killer.
No, you people, you like abortion. How are you going to win an election when you're for abortion? Pro-abortion. Kill the baby. But then when it comes to war, you guys all run and hide because you're scared to fight those dirty, rotten Muslims.
Wow. Jesus, Mark. I have to tell you, in my history...
I'm telling the... Michael, I'm telling the truth. And you know
pot this guy down. Pot him down now. I have to tell you, Mark, don't hang up on him. Just pot him down. I got to stop this raving son of a bitch for just a minute. In my 25 years in talk radio, Mark, I don't think I've ever had anyone on the air that demonstrated mental illness more clearly than what you have just demonstrated. All right, pot him back up.
Kill them over there before they come over here.
Let me ask you something, Mark. Let me ask you, Mark, now get a grip. Jesus Christ, get a grip. Put your hands on your throat and squeeze. Whatever it takes, just slow down. Let me ask you something, okay? I've given you more airtime than I give the usual psychopath. So listen, how many of your Republican heroes went to war?
None. You know why? Because we send the little guy to do our job for us because we're smart. We don't go to war. We send the little people to do it. And that's the truth, Mike, and I'm just going to say...
What's a little person? You talking about a kid? Are you talking about your baby back there? I hear your baby.
My kid will never go to one of those crazy wars, but I'm going to tell you this.
Wait a second. I think you just... This phone call is a joke. You almost had me, Mark. You almost had me by little people. I mean, you give it away there when you say that you people are too smart to fight the wars, you send little people. That's what a psychopathic right winger would say.
Well, you want me to be honest with you?
Hey, Mark, does God love Bush more or less than he loves you?
Well, we're both Republicans. I don't know about that, but let me tell you.
Okay, let me ask you, Mark, does God love the Israelis?
Yeah, with an asterisk next to their name because I don't believe in Jesus. Let's be real. Now, Mike, this is for real. You think we're
Mark, by little people, do you mean like minorities?
Hey, Mike, you see Michael Moore's movie?
Yeah, I'm going
to
be
you
in the next one.
See how they
one?
Went to Detroit and they look around for the weakest of the weak to go over there and promise them a recording contract and this and that and the other thing? That's what I'm talking about.
What?
In that movie, they go around the Army Reserve guys and they promise these young kids anything to get them to go over to these wars. I wouldn't fight in one of these wars. Would you?
Why not?
Because the wars are about money. But you know what?
Well, wait a minute. It's God's will and Bush orders it. You hate God. You're a phony. I may be an atheist, but you're a Christ-murdering phony, and you really do hate Bush. You hate God, and you hate Bush. Let me tell you something, Mark. Let me tell you something real quick. God is going to get you tonight. When you go to sleep, he's going to reach into your bedroom and pinch off your head and throw it into hell so the devils can use it as a soccer ball because you're displaying the kind of hypocrisy that you're God hates.
Mike,
do you understand that?
Mike, life's all about hypocrisy. Get with the program. The Republicans like money. The Democrats like abortion.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Mark. Listen, you have a great life. Jesus Christ, I feel sorry for your children. Oh, my God. Woo! I think that was a joke. I think Mark was kidding. Nobody can be that crazy and dial the telephone. Nobody.
Someone's knocking at the door. I'm looking at my girl and she passed out on the floor. I've seen so many things I ain't never seen before. But the way
listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
Hey, Mike, I don't think Mark was a joke. I have met Republicans with money that talk just like him. They don't usually do it out in public. Maybe he thinks they've taken over now, and they don't have to run under the fridge when the kitchen light comes on anymore. Oh, This is from Bill of Rights Man. Hey, I know that guy. He's in my bowling league. Dean in Connecticut writes, I'll be meeting Ned Lamont tomorrow. He'll be appearing at a meet and greet in Willimantic, Connecticut tomorrow, followed by an appearance at Willimantic's third Thursday Street Festival. Would you consider mentioning this on the air tonight? Also, is there any particular question you'd like to ask Lamont on your behalf? Dean in Connecticut, P.S. That Mark guy in Phoenix had to have been joking. There's no effing way he could have been serious. Who knows? No, Dean, thanks for the offer, but we had Ned Lamont on on the program and got a chance to talk to him. But thanks for the offer. Regarding the snowflakes, Kate writes in, the subject line is Middle Eastern snowflakes. Dear Mike, perhaps we should see if the Iraqi, Iranian, Jordanian, Lebanese, Syrian, etc. parents whose children have been killed or born dead or horribly deformed by radiation poisoning would take these snowflakes. It isn't even near enough for us to be forgiven for what we've done to them. It would be a small kind of justice against these xenophobic Christianists. The people of the Middle East would at least have some healthy children, even if not of their ethnicity. This just gets more insane every day. Kate. And let's see, K. Margaret? As you know, if you were listening a while ago, Kathy played the Susie Snowflake song, which I always loved as a kid, too. K. Margaret writes, our dear childhood Susie Snowflake song is now linked to the culture of death for all time. But thanks for playing it. I've always enjoyed your quirky tunes. At the moment, with the volume down, the images on the TV had my mind going, arr, overload, overload, system failure, emergency, emergency, anxiety attack. How many caring, compassionate progressives are having strokes? Death and refugees, flames, explosions. Tucker Carlson looks lost and dumb. Bush cradling babies. Torquemada smiling sweetly. I think Bolton sucks his mustache. He looks like a junior high teacher. How about a polka?
Someone stole the key car, someone stole the key car, someone stole the key car from the butcher shop.
Hey!
Who stole the key car, who stole the key car, who stole the key car from
yeah,
the
butcher shop. Hey!
Round and firm and fully packed, it was hanging from the rack. Someone stole the
come on, get up and dance.
While I turned my back.
Ho!
Who stole the key car,
hey,
who stole
hey.
The key car, who stole the key car from the butcher shop.
One more.
Have my shinka or my sweet kielbasa. You could have my darling and bring me back the kishka. Who stole the kishka? Who stole the kishka? Who stole the kishka from the butcher shop?
Hey!
Yaka-ka-ma-kishka,
yaka-ka-ma-kishka,
yaka-ka-ma-kishka, hung it on the rack.
Ho!
He found the kishka, hung it on the rack.
Hey! All right, you feel better now? The photos, graphic and brutal, streamed onto the New York City Indymedia newswire under the headline, Photos from Lebanon You Won't See in the New York Times. Trite but true, a trip through Monday's newspaper demonstrates the Western media's calculus of suffering. This is from Chris Anderson. Additional photos shot by AP photographers and dispatched from Beirut have appeared on the Angry Arab blog. They are heart-wrenching and stomach-churning. Children's blackened bodies lie in the rubble of a burned-out Jeep. A man with a stream of blood and ghostly white powder running down his face staggers out of rubble. Today's New York Times has 9 photos related to the current war between Lebanon and Israel. The color photos on the front page of the paper sum up the Times' view of the distribution of death as well as anything. Entirely above the fold are scenes of shrouded Israeli corpses killed in a rocket attack on Haifa, being removed from the wreckage of a train station. Partly below the fold is a second photo captioned, "A night of bombing produced rubble in a neighborhood that is Hezbollah stronghold." A single man stands with his hands at the side staring at the wreckage. At once we see the take from the Times, simultaneously able to claim balance and the subtle non-balance at bay, at play. There are no dead Lebanese on the front page of the paper. There are certainly dead Israelis. A true balance would show corpses on both sides.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
Our mission in Iraq
is a vital mission.
The mission is one that will be that we obviously couldn't complete if we didn't fulfill our goals.
Fly into the sun.
26 before the hour. Chris Anderson finishes up here. The death of innocent civilians on either side of this conflict, that's the latest one, is a terrible tragedy. Neither Israeli civilians nor Shiite Lebanese innocents deserve to die for the crimes of their governments. The point here is not to assign blame for the current war. I'll leave that to others smarter than me. Rather, it is once again to point out the skewed view presented by the Western media when it comes to who dies and who lives in the Middle East. This lack of understanding has very real consequences. It is easy, though no longer in any way justified by history, for New Yorkers to sit in their cool air-conditioned rooms and marvel at the perennial stupidity of the Middle East. We've certainly acted that way during every other third world conflict over the last quarter century. Let's remember that Osama bin Laden himself watched the 1982 bombing of Lebanon and first conceived his plans to demolish American towers. He said in 2004, quote, "While I was looking at these destroyed towers in Lebanon, it sparked in my mind that the tyrant should be punished with the same, and that we should destroy towers in America so that it tastes what we taste and would be deterred from killing our children and women," end quote. If destruction visits our shores again, we must never be able to ask in perplexed innocence, "Why do they hate us?" Yeah, I know what he's talking about. They're at Arianna Huffington's site today. There's a very intense blog written by Stan Goff. You know who he is. We had him on the program. But and there's also a very intense blog written at where is it? Anyway, the gist of what I'm trying to say is the PR person who advises the Israeli Prime Minister, who would be equivalent, I guess, to Tony Snow in this country, has passed on the word that the press coverage, in the Western press coverage of this latest upheaval of death and destruction in the Middle East, the press coverage is wonderful because by a ratio of about 10 to 1, people who speak for the Israelis are on television as opposed to anyone who speaks for the Lebanese or Hezbollah or the Arabs or anybody else. And it's a clear indication to the Israeli government that they're winning the absolutely critical media war, as they usually do, as they usually do. One last thing here about the stem cell thing for tonight. This is from Richard. "Don't you get it, Mike? Kanye West was only working his way up to it when he said Bush doesn't care about black people. It's more far-reaching than that. Bush doesn't care about real people. He only cares about imaginary people. And why is that? Because he's been listening to his imaginary friends. As the psychologist Thomas Szasz put it, if you talk to God, you're praying. If God talks to you, you're schizophrenic." This is from Ron in El Segundo, California. "Mike, I'm a 31-year-old living in Los Angeles. I lived in Israel as a kid from 79 to 83 and witnessed Israel's attack on Lebanon back in 82. I still remember the jets flying over our town at 6:30 a.m. And though as a kid I went along with the propaganda, now I know that Israel provokes the Arabs either with settlements or with undermining their governments. And I have to say that as a Jew who tries to argue with other Jews about Israel's provocations, I'm really sad and perplexed. It's like they don't want to discuss what's really going on. They just want a license to kill Arabs. Mike, what happened to us as Jews? We used to stand with oppressed people all over the world. We fought the Greeks in the Roman Empire. We made Jesus. So many of us were communists and socialists. Rulers have launched pogroms against us in order to squash those movements. And now where are we? Defending to the death our position as pawns of the new Rome? It's contrary to every lesson I learned as a kid, and it makes me want to vomit just to think about it. When the State of Israel was created, many famous people didn't like the idea. Einstein said he didn't think Jews should partake in, quote, temporal power, end quote. Especially now, I really agree with that. I believe this pro-killing Arabs policy endangers our future, not just as Jews in particular, but all of us people who want to be free. Thanks for letting me vent, Ron, and his last name and his company. From Jane in Portland, Oregon. Mike, as a Jew, I support Rabbi Lerner's stand. Did you know that any Jew who does not support the Israeli Zionists is called a self-hating Jew by these right-wingers? Check out the plight of the ultra-Orthodox Hasidic Satmar Jewish sect. Have you noticed that the liberal Jews in the entertainment industry are being very silent about this very serious issue? Where are they when you need them? I myself wonder what people like Barbara Streisand think about this. Jane. This is from Carolyn, Oklahoma City. Mike, I too was brought up with Christian teachings, although the Christian right has been instrumental in finally eradicating every last vestige of remaining Christian think from my mind, for which, oddly enough, I'm grateful. I fully understand when you said your understanding of such a worldview was supposed to be one of peace. Certainly part of the frustration with the reign of Bush has been the disconnect between what I've always understood Christians to believe and the obvious hateful hawkishness of the Christian right. Certainly, that is a big part of the funhouse mirror-like rabbit hole we've endured for the past 6 years. All weekend long, I felt that the situation between Israel and Lebanon, oh no, not again, was cause for deep grief. I was sure that as soon as world governments got back to business on Monday, we'd hear universal condemnation for this tragic foolishness and something could be done to ratchet this thing down. Surely world churches would rise to the crisis and call for peaceful negotiations, offer help of various kinds. Surely. Instead, we hear that Israel is somehow justified in this over-the-top behavior with only the flimsiest provocation when the attack is not specific to Hezbollah, but is actually an attack on the nation of Lebanon. As I see it, by indiscriminately lobbing bombs and rockets across the borders, both nations have committed acts of war. Saber-rattling about dragging Syria and Iran into the mix, by my way of thinking, should horrify the entire world. Is Iraq and Afghanistan, Pakistan and India, many African states, not enough? Surely everyone must understand that the only thing that can come of this escalating mess is that the entire Middle East goes up in flames, dragging the rest of the world with it. Indeed, what kind of people are we? All of us, the whole planet. What in the hell is wrong with us? Just when you think it can't get any worse, it does. Lately, I find myself bursting into tears at the drop of a hat. The tiniest thing just makes me break down and bawl like a child. I've already discovered that a passionate rant of genuine outrage has everyone thinking I've lost my marbles completely. Nobody wants to hear. Nobody wants to know. It makes them very uncomfortable, and I have to watch myself if I would like to continue in business and keep my remaining friends. We have slipped into an alternate universe somehow, where rationality is lost and hatred is king. Carolyn. Yeah, I hear you. Let's take a few calls. Ben is calling. Oh, is our Elgin, Illinois bureau chief, Ben Birch from WhiteRoseSociety.org. Hey, Ben.
Hey there, Mike. Well, let's get my snarky comment out of the way first.
Okay, get the snarky comment.
If Bush were really serious about snowflake babies being babies, I should be able to adopt me a test tube full of them frozen and claim them on my taxes.
That's very true, yeah. Just be careful if you have them in a refrigerator and you go to mix a cocktail, be careful what you put in to, you know, chill the mixer.
Oh, yeah. You have to label them, I think.
Yeah.
On reading to children, you know, I think it's just really special that, you know, that Molly's just at a great age. I used to read to my kids when they were that age all the time. And at the time when my son was like 4 and a half and my daughter was 3 and a half, I started reading them The Hobbit.
Uh-huh.
And I read it like, you know, a chapter every night. And we got through that and they really liked it. So I then read them the entire Lord of the Rings that way.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, there was one problem. They couldn't keep Sauron and Saruman separate in their heads.
Neither can I.
So I renamed Saruman Fred. So it was, you know, Gandalf and the evil wizard Fred. Throughout the whole Lord of the Rings, all 1,700 pages of it.
Oh my God.
But they loved it.
Yeah, and in our family, I've said this before, Kathy does the reading, I do the storytelling, and it works out real well. Molly gets both. She gets a coherent storytelling, a reading from Kathy, and she gets the kind of incoherent, all-over-the-map storytelling from me, which and I think she appreciates both.
But I think reading to children is one of the most important things you can do with them.
It is. I think it's the single most important thing to help a child develop his or her mind. All this nonsense about buying them little creative toys and little things that make them do stuff, I just read recently, is pretty much nonsense. It's a great marketing tool to tell somebody that if your child listens to Beethoven, he or she is going to grow up to be a composer or something. But the bottom line is, all you have to do is read to your child. Just read to your child and tell him or her stories. And
that's right.
All that's necessary. Hey, thanks, Ben.
You take care and give that little girl a hug for us.
I'll do it. Appreciate you checking in. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
It's gonna be tomorrow.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
I work all day, Dr. Phil, and okay, fine, I guess I'm sort of a homebody, so I feel like it's really never going to happen for me.
Look, love is not like the pizza man. Hi, I'm going door to door looking for a life partner. Not going to happen.
Dr. Phil is now on Match.com. His insights inspire millions every day and help them find love. Now with our free starter kit, you can see if we're right for you. Visit Match.com, the number one site for love.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him. And we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
It's 10 before the hour. Smeagol? Smeagol is on the air? Oh, that's right. Ben was talking about Lord of the Rings. And
hello, good man.
Hi, Smeagol. How are you?
We are very good, yes.
Haven't heard from you for a while. Why are you very good?
We was listening to your show like we usually does.
Yeah.
And we hear Ben Birch talking about Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Yes. But we don't like this Fred.
You don't like?
No.
Oh.
No, we don't like calling Fred.
Oh, you don't like
Fred.
You don't like you,
no.
So, you don't
no,
like,
he hates it. He hates it, my precious.
Saruman.
Yes.
Okay. I understand. I understand that you hates it.
Yes, but it has been a very long time since talked to you. Yes?
Yeah, yes, it has. Let me ask you something. Where is the one ring today? For heaven's sake, where is it? Now, before you answer, Smeagol, as you look out from your den and you see all this stuff that's going on, this horror. I've got to ask you, where is the One Ring today?
Well, we doesn't come to your Earth very often.
Yeah?
We doesn't like it.
It's no.
Tricksy.
It's
false.
Very tricksy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your Dark Lord is embarrassment.
Yeah, very much an embarrassment.
Groping hobbit.
Yeah.
Eating pigsies?
Yeah, he can't chew with his mouth closed either, can he?
No. We don't like the bush. He has the one ring.
Oh. Bush has the one ring?
Bush has, yes.
Don't you want to get it, precious?
Yes. Yes, master. We get the one ring from the bushes.
I wish you the best.
Yes. I couldn't do worse.
You know, if you do get the one ring, I'll throw you a raw fish, and maybe you can teach Fearless Leader how to chew.
Fish, yes. Tasty fish. Makes eyes bright. Fingers tight.
Yes, it does, Smeagol. I'm sorry, but I do get a little nervous when I have you on the phone.
We know.
Yeah, I realize I'm talking to both of you. That's makes me a little, always makes me nervous when I'm talking to two and one. But
we is wondering why you people don't get rid of Birch the Bush.
He's got the ring for one thing.
Yes.
Well, then how do
you
we?
You must take the ring from the master, and then you be master.
Chaney, the golem, won't let me.
Chaney's not golem.
Yeah.
No.
He's...
Chaney has ring. Bush doesn't have ring.
Oh, Chaney has it.
Chaney. Yes. Precious is in an undisclosed location.
Uh-huh. He... He keeps the ring with the football, you know, the launch codes. I'd imagine. Do you know, Smeagol? Do you know what launch codes are?
It's bad.
Yes, yeah, it's real bad. It's the worst thing. It's the bad thing that comes up from Middle Earth. It's it blows us all to hell, so to speak. The launch codes, and that's what Chaney has, and that would explain why he has the ring. You see?
Yes, must take from Chaney.
Can you do that?
We will take him to see her.
Oh.
Yes.
Her.
We climb up the stairs, my precious. Yes.
Do You mean the big spider thing?
Yes.
Oh!
Yes. She will take care of it. Or yeah. Hillary.
Well, they're one. Yeah, or Hillary. But Cheney's already sucked dry. That's obvious when you look at him. How will her, you know, what will her do to Cheney? And of course, Cheney has no heart or no body fluid.
Yes, this presents a problem. Yes, I can see.
Yeah.
My suggestion.
Yeah.
Vote the bums out.
Vote them.
Vote the. Yes, yes. You people have elections.
Yeah, we do.
We don't have that in Middle Earth.
Yeah, well, we have elections. That looks like elections, but you know, it's not really, as you know, Smeagol, things are not always what they appear to be.
If the people turn out in great enough numbers.
Ah.
Yes.
All right.
Many people.
Smeagol, I just wish you would do it because I know that you are obsessed with the ring. Listen,
Yes, I hear the music.
Yeah, we got to go, but I'm shipping you a crate of mackerel right now, okay?
Oh, thank you, good master.
Smeagol, thanks
this
for...
This will be very good.
Thanks for calling, Smeagol. Please be careful. Watch out when you cross the street, because sometimes drivers might not see you. You understand what I'm saying? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
On Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. The House has failed to override President Bush's veto of a bill that would have expanded federal funding of embryonic stem cell research. The 235 to 193 vote failed to win the two-thirds majority needed to override. Earlier in the day, Bush issued the first veto of his presidency, saying the stem cell bill crossed a moral boundary because it advocated destruction of embryos to create stem cells for research. Supporters of the measure say Bush has denied millions of people a chance of possible cures for diabetes, Alzheimer's, and spinal cord injuries. The head of the Christopher Reeve Foundation is disappointed with that veto. Kathy Lewis says Bush is out of step with what the American public wants.
His legislature has said, look, we're here representing the people of the United States, and the majority of them really want to do this research. And the fact that he vetoed it is terribly disappointing to the American public and specifically the people living with disabilities and diseases.
Lewis says the foundation, which works to find cures and treatment for people living with spinal cord injuries and paralysis, will continue to fight on behalf of Christopher and Dana Reeve. Israeli aircraft have dropped 23 tons of bombs on a bunker thought to be sheltering senior Hezbollah leaders in southern Beirut. Hezbollah denies that any of its leaders died in that airstrike. Meanwhile, the death toll in Lebanon is approaching 300, while 30 have died in Israel. As the death toll mounts, the U.S. is evacuating Americans from Beirut. The U.S. is using Navy ships, helicopters, and a cruise ship. About 1,200 Americans were evacuated, and about 6,000 Americans will be evacuated by the end of the week, according to the State Department. Army Brigadier General Mike Barbaro said the U.S. military is doing everything necessary to help Americans evacuate Lebanon.
This is a war zone, so our intent is to provide the on-scene commander the assets he requires and to answer all the requests for assistance that we receive from the Department of State.
Barbaro said the goal is to evacuate all Americans who want to leave Lebanon safely, securely, and quickly. Tropical storm Beryl has spared North Carolina and is aiming at New England. Southeastern Massachusetts is under a storm watch as Beryl grows stronger while moving north. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. Philip in Scranton, PA writes, good evening, Mike. I will need a pick-me-up in the morning. And apparently Bush will visit the NAACP convention. As an African-American, there is nothing, Philip is. As an African-American, I know there's nothing he can say to get the 90% of blacks to vote against him and his murdering party. Should be good theater, though. Always giving out hilarious quotes. Yeah, we're going to, thanks, Philip, we're going to listen in on that tomorrow and probably have some of the sound tomorrow night. Stan Goff at Huffington Post. He says, let's get something out of the way right up front before I go any further. Zionism is not Judaism. Being Jewish does not make anyone Zionist, and anti-Zionism is not equivalent to anti-Semitism. It is now well past time for the United States to withdraw all support from the rogue state, Israel. Though that is unlikely to happen without a movement to make it happen, because the United States is now effectively the biggest and most dangerous rogue state on the planet. Democrats won't touch this issue for the same reason they avoid that other P word being Palestine, prison. They are as complicit in the incarceration of 2 million people here, mostly of color, as they are in the continuing support of the terror state of Israel. So let's just talk briefly about what Zionism actually is and get away from the mythology promoted by AIPAC. In 1923, Vladimir Jabotinsky, one of the founders of Zionism, wrote The Iron Wall, an essay that laid out a direct comparison of expropriation of the Arabs with the genocide of the indigenous people of North America. This is what Jabotinsky wrote, quote, "There can be no discussion of voluntary reconciliation between us and the Arabs, not now and not in the foreseeable future. All well-meaning people, with the exception of those blind from birth, understood long ago the complete impossibility of arriving at a voluntary agreement with the Arabs of Palestine for the transformation of Palestine from an Arab country to a country with a Jewish majority. Each of you has some general understanding of the history of colonization. Try to find even one example when the colonization of a country took place with the agreement of the native population. Such an event has never occurred. The natives will always struggle obstinately against the colonists, and it is all the same whether they are cultured or uncultured. The comrades in arms of Hernando Cortez or Francisco Pizarro conducted themselves like brigands. The Redskins fought with uncompromising fervor against both evil and good-hearted colonizers. The natives struggled because any kind of colonization anywhere at any time is inadmissible to any native people. Any native people view their country as their natural home, of which they will be complete masters. They will never voluntarily allow a new master. So it is for the Arabs. Compromisers among us try to convince us that the Arabs are some kind of fools who can be tricked with hidden formulations of our basic goals. I flatly refuse to accept this view of the Palestinian Arabs. They have the precise psychology that we have. They look upon Palestine with the same instinctive love and true fervor that any Aztec looked upon his Mexico or any Sioux upon his prairie. Each people will struggle against colonizers until the last spark of hope that they can avoid the dangers of conquest and colonization is extinguished. The Palestinians will struggle in this way until there is hardly a spark of hope. It matters not what kind of words we use to explain our colonization. Colonization has its own integral and inescapable meaning, understood by every Jew and by every Arab. Colonization has only one goal. This is in the nature of things. To change that nature is impossible. It has been necessary to carry on colonization against the will of the Palestinian Arabs, and the same condition exists now. Even an agreement with non-Palestinians represents the same kind of fantasy. In order for Arab nationalists of Baghdad and Mecca and Damascus to agree to pay so serious a price, they would have to refuse to maintain the Arab character of Palestine. We cannot give any compensation for Palestine, neither to the Palestinians nor to other Arabs. Therefore, a voluntary agreement is inconceivable. All colonization, even the most restricted, must continue in defiance of the will of the native population. Therefore, it can continue and develop only under the shield of force, which comprises an iron wall through which the local population can never break through. This is our Arab policy. To formulate it any other way would be hypocrisy. Now, that was written in 1923 by Vladimir Jabotinsky, who was one of the advocates, if not one of the founders, of modern Zionism. And this was before the Holocaust. You can find this in its entirety, Stan Goff's piece, at HuffingtonPost.com, I believe it is. And it was, just go there and find Stan Goff. The title of it is The P Word. The P Word being Palestine. This is so much like, what I just quoted for you is by Jabotinsky, is so much like what Rabbi Meir Kahane wrote, wrote in his book, They Must Go, where Kahane, an ardent Zionist, a maniacal Zionist, who believed in the literal slaughter, if there was any resistance, of every Palestinian Arab, man, woman, and child, not unlike that which Joshua effected against the people of the Promised Land when he crossed the River Jordan and was ordered by his insane God to slaughter every man, woman, and child in the land that God had decided, this insane God had decided to give to this tribal group of people all those thousands of years ago. So the clear understanding of people who are honest, the Zionists who are honest, whether it's Meir Kahane or Vladimir Jabotinsky or whoever it is, I think the Arab people, especially the Palestinians, I think they appreciate what Kahane or Jabotinsky have said, because at least it's out in the clear. I can remember racism in this country, of course it still exists, but I'm trying to make a point here. Racism in the North was always very subtle. I can remember as a kid growing up, black kids always kind of looking at us whites a little bit suspiciously because, you know, we were taught, or we were told anyway, that, you know, we shouldn't use the N-word, we should be respectful of our dusky brethren. Whereas in the South here, it was blatant, brutal, and upfront. And yet, there seemed to have been more of a willingness of white Southerners and black Southerners to coexist peacefully up to a point. The point being when the kids reached about 13, when they became sexual. Then, of course, the door was slammed to keep the whites away from the blacks. But I've been told by Americans of African descent that in both regions of the country that it was much easier growing up with Southern racism because it was blatant and out front. And I think that most Arabs, or Palestinians especially, can appreciate a Meir Kahane or a Vladimir Jabotinsky more than they can appreciate a hypocritical, lying Israeli who tells them, well, you know, if you do this, we'll grant you statehood. Okay, you did that. Okay, well, if you do that, we'll grant. Okay, well, now, you know, this whole ungodly mess. Now, why did I just read to you what I did by Jabotinsky? One of the reasons is because most of us Americans have not a clue. We are told things like Palestine never existed. We are told things that even using the term Zionist is somehow anti-Semitic, which it is not. We are told that any questioning of Israel's objectives in the Middle East is to question Judaism, is to deny the Holocaust, is to be a hate-filled anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic. And I refuse to go along with that. I refuse. I always have, and I always will. Israel is a sovereign nation that has formed itself pretty much the same way the United States formed itself. In a way that left people wounded, dead, injured, moved into a form of Bantustans, whether they were called reservations or the occupied territories. And I think that Americans need to understand this, need to understand the history a little bit more clearly, and then What's the term? An informed decision can be made as to whether or not every single policy of the state of Israel should be seen as holy writ by people in this country where it concerns the politics. Don't you agree?
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now, and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Plus, a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
the microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
21 past the hour. Oh, my goodness. Brother Sky Blue has been on hold for probably most of the program. Brother Sky, I'm so sorry. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, Mike. It's hot down here in Memphis. Boy, this global warming is hell. I was down on Beale Street on my electric scooter a couple of weeks ago when President Bush came down with the Prime Minister of Japan to visit Graceland.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he rode by. I was down there on Beale Street when they rode by. I didn't get rowdy or anything like that.
Good.
I missed you on CNN last month. You know, one of my funniest TV moments is when you walked off of that Fox News interview you had. You know that caller you had, Mark?
Yeah.
He must have taken one of those correspondence courses from that John Hagee, that minister, the fat little Oliver Hardy-looking clown.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's the one that talks about the end times. They're saying now, though, that they don't have to tear down the Dome of the Rock mosque in Jerusalem for Jesus to come.
Oh, no. Okay. I think what he was going to say, the Dome of the Rock, you know, the reestablishment of the temple, that's one of the things that these non-Christian Christians believe needs to happen in order for Jesus to get all happy and come back. The only problem is that happens to be the site of one of the most holy, if not the holiest, sites in Islam. Oh, I'm so glad I'm an atheist. I really am. Carl is calling from Chicago, Southside Carl. Hey, Carl, welcome to the program. Haven't heard from you for a while. How you doing?
I'm okay, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah. I want to talk to you about what Israel's doing, and I'm sitting here listening, and you read that article about Zionism, and I'm like, you know, it's something I had never heard, but, it hit right upon the conclusion that I'm going to come to on my own about Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was wondering was if people are aware that what appears to be happening right now is that it looks like Israel has resurrected the what is that thing called, the policy for a new American century or something like that?
Uh-huh, Project for the New American Century.
Yeah, it looked like they said, well, Bush screwed up in Iraq, we got to revive it, huh?
Oh, God.
Well, you know what? I'm getting a little tired of this because, like, you know, no one seems to be questioning why is Bush, which is something you should ask Ron, why does his beloved Bush use 25,000 Americans as bait to have an excuse to go after Syria and Iran, you know?
Well, you know, the other aspect of that, this is very reminiscent or similar to how Americans were abandoned on the Gulf Coast of the United States after Katrina. These Americans that are trying to get out of Lebanon, I understand, are being told that they have to pay for their rescue and that their passports would be held if they don't have the money or can't get the money, and passports won't be returned until they do get the money. And any fool who's ever traveled outside of the United States, other than to Canada or Mexico, understands that without your passport, you might as well be naked.
Yeah, I hear that. But it was something else. You know, within the last, in less than 2 weeks, it looks like Israel done undermined two elected governments. I mean, the Palestinians and the Lebanese, haven't they?
That effort is being made. The United States and the Israelis like to talk about a democracy and how that's what is to be exported to the rest of the world, and that the only democracy in the Middle East is Israel. And yet, when Arabs vote and have a chance to vote, which certainly is pretty rare in that part of the world, because the fundamentalist Muslims don't particularly believe in democracy any more than fundamentalist Christians do. But here, that you're right. There were a couple of elections in Lebanon and in the occupied territories. But as Mr. Bush so famously said and I'm misquoting him here, you know, either have the kind of government that we say is a democracy, or we'll blackmail it. We won't deal with it.
Well, you know, you had brought up something else, too, about the coverage. And it looks like, you know, it actually appears like deja vu, because the American media here is doing just like they did on the Iraq buildup. They're sucking it all up, you know. I mean, all the Jewish representatives that's on the cable news and everything, I mean, they're basically running out that this post-World War II psychosis thing of the threat of Jewish annihilation. I mean, I got they've got the ambassador to the UN talking about, well, instead of Al-Qaeda, he's saying that Hezbollah is the threat. And it's basically the same kind of line that they ran with the buildup going in Iraq. I just checking in with you, though, Mike.
All right. I hear you loud and clear. Thanks for calling in, Carl. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Tonight, walking in Memphis, was walking with my feet 10 feet off a beam. Walking in Memphis, but do I really feel?
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that'll help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
If you want someone to tell you what you want to hear, we're not the place. But if you want someone to tell it like it is, come to Match.com.
You need to start making some different decisions and embracing some different strategies to get what you want.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
We'll be right back.
boom, boom. Bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk.
Pulling the troops out would send a terrible signal to the enemy. You know, the United States is weak.
And you talk that talk. You knocks me out. Out off of my feet. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, bang, bang.
It's about 25 before the hour. Les is gone. Oh, no. Les was calling from Chattanooga, had been holding on for 2 hours. I'm sorry, Les. Oh, God. All right, Clay is calling from El Paso, Texas. Clay, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Hey.
I had one thing to say before I was going to say what I had to say. About the gentleman who called in about not wanting to have kids. I say that I have a 2-year-old and another kid on the way, and, you know, I won't succumb to the nihilistic point of view of it's not worth having kids.
Right.
'Cause who knows, you know, that kid may grow up to do better for the world than anybody could ever think.
Oh, so, sure. Absolutely. I completely agree.
What I originally called about was when you go on break, I go to Michael Savage for about a minute before he goes on break, because that's about all I can stand from him.
Yeah.
And he had several callers in a row talking about, well, we just need to nuke Lebanon.
Oh yeah, that's what these right wing apes always come up with. That's why they're just useless. They're just useless.
What surprised me though was that I disagree with him 99% of the time, but he was actually taking a viewpoint of like you can't nuke them because there's also children there, which threw his listening audience totally for a loop. And I think that's the only thing I ever agreed with him on, but it just amazes me of just, like I said before, the nihilistic point of view that we got to get them over there before they come over here. And I think we've been, I wouldn't say complacent, but just comfortable in how we've been Americans, and I think the history has caught up to us, and things are going to happen over here.
Yeah, I think you're right. And if things do start happening, as you're laying this out, Clay, it'll be because we Americans have not paid attention to history. We have not come to a clear understanding. Hell, most of us don't have an idea, have any idea or respect for our own history. When I have addressed groups and I start out by saying, you know, this is a great country. Potentially, we have great documents, but let's be real. This country was founded on genocide and slavery. I mean, Jesus, God, are there two worse things that you can structure a country on which you can structure a country other than genocide and slavery? I can't think of it. I don't know what would be two worse things. But when you point that out to people, that America began with the utter and absolute slaughter of the people who were here first, and then the importation of people from Africa solely for the purpose of just beating the Jesus out of them and making them work so that the white people could build, the Europeans could build wealth that the black folks, the Africans, would never share in. When you point that out, people look at you like you're some kind of a communist, and they say things like, oh, go F yourself, or you must be a communist, or, you know, if you don't like it here, why don't you leave? So that's the prevalent mindset in this country is willful ignorance. And we love to wallow, so many of us, in utter stupidity. So when the hell starts to descend on this country, as it did on September 11th, 2001, and people stand around with their thumbs in their noses wondering, you know, of what happened, and you have some half-wit like Bush saying, well, they did this to us, they hate us because we have freedom. You know, I don't know about you, but I just want to scream and rip out of my head what remaining hair I have, because it's just insane. So much of the horror that is going on right now, and you're right, is heading towards this country, is because of the utter ignorance and inability to face the truth of ourselves and some of our allies that Americans adopt. That attitude, you know, that's the attitude that we adopt. Our legislators, our executive branch, our fellow citizens, grossly stupid, grossly ignorant, and grossly middle ages, so many of us. You know, when you factor in these psychopathic rapture right Christian freaks who have such control over the way policy in this country is directed, you've got a formula for utter disaster.
Well, and they're setting us up by their complacency for another attack and not funding for it.
Wait, say that again.
I said they're setting us up by their complacency for another attack because they're not funding for it. They don't want to put the money in to necessarily protect us.
Well, but you can't be protected. There's no place on earth, nowhere, that can be protected from a determined a terrorist. You know how you stop it? You stop it by addressing the issues that promote, that fertilize terrorism. You know, Osama bin Laden made it very clear what his rage against the United States was. And had we listened to that rage and acted accordingly, we probably, if the official story is true, Osama bin Laden organizing the attack on this country on September 11th, which I have doubts about, but let's go along with the official story. Then Osama bin Laden would have had no reason. This is assuming that he was telling the truth. You can't protect yourself against terrorism unless you're willing to live in a locked down police state. And even then, You can't. It's an impossibility.
Not if you want to be free.
even if you don't want to be free, it is just utterly and literally an impossibility to live in a system, unless you are going to live in a prison totally naked, with access to nothing. Then it might be possible. So rather than build fences and walls and nukes and design these half-assed homeland security fantasies, the way to deal with terrorism is to address the issues that produce it. And until we wake up to that and learn it, then we are condemned to continue to have our cities blown up, our buses set on fire, our children murdered, our homelands bombed. It's not going to stop. In fact, it's going to increase exponentially. There's no reason for it not to. When you have millions upon millions of people around this planet who have come to the conclusion that they will not be listened to, that they will not be heard, that their life has no value to the countries that seem to control everything, then those people will react. Those people will blow themselves up. They will infiltrate. I don't give a damn how secure someone thinks they are making their country. Build a wall around your mind. That would be better than trying to build a wall around your country. Infiltrators, bombers, people who say, that's it, I'm going to kill myself and take as many people with me. You cannot defend against that. It is an utter impossibility unless you're willing to murder the entire population from which these people seem to come. And that can't be done, because then you have to murder everybody on earth. So we're kidding ourselves. We're joking ourselves. We're setting ourselves up for national suicide and murder most foul. I don't understand why this seems so simple to my uneducated brain. It seems so simple. So I don't know. I'm sorry to go off like that, Clay, but you make some good points, and it just triggers me. Anyway, thanks for checking in, okay?
Thank you.
Take care. Jerky, our bureau chief at large, is checking in. Jerky, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
How you doing tonight?
Fair to partly cloudy. How about you?
about the same.
Yeah, I hear you.
I was wondering, I was thinking about how, you know, this week and the last week's acceleration in the slide towards pan-global insanity, whether it was proof that the Bush Doctrine is a miserable failure or a brilliant success.
That's a good point.
Because, you know, if you take at face value the neoconservative idea that invading Iraq was a necessary first step in transforming the Middle East into a place where Jeffersonian democracy could flower,
yeah.
Then, like, opening your eyes every morning is a rude awakening, you know. These
right.
days it's just everything seems to have gone to poop. Lebanon, just a few months ago, they were touting it as a great success in the region.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many people remember that. That kind of quieted down when Hamas won the Palestinian elections. But when you look around, I mean, especially in the region, Iraq is already dead. Basically, it's a cadaver nation.
Mm-hmm.
It's eventually going to be split into three. I don't think there's any alternative to that. I think...
No, and there's no doubt about it. Can you hold on, Jeremy?
Yeah, sure.
All right, just hold the thought right there
yeah.
While we take this break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America. Stay with us.
Brainwashed under duress. Brainwashed by the media. You're brainwashed by the press. Brainwashed by computer. Brainwashed by mobile phone.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
And then God said,
let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it.
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost. Secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we'd do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
obviously killing Americans, but they're killing a lot more Iraqis.
Understand me, I feel strongly. I want you to give it to me.
I can't help it. I can't help it. I can't help it. I can't help it. I can't help it.
It's about 9 before the hour. Thanks to our engineers, Justin Nguyen and Stan Stolpiak in New York City. Thanks, guys. David Weissman answered your calls tonight. Thank you, David. And our outside, through the looking glass crew, Chris in Minnesota, Mark Marshall, Ben Birch at White Rose Society, and Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Thanks to everybody. And Catherine Bays, our executive producer. Back to Jerky, our bureau chief at large. Now, what were you saying?
Well, I was just waxing conspiratorial.
Well, go ahead.
Well, as to whether what's going on right now in the world is a result of
yeah, huge success or a huge failure.
Whether it's whether we're really seeing a spiraling out of control due to massive incompetence, or if we're being deliberately herded towards some kind of reckoning that has been deemed necessary by the people who are, sculpting our collective future.
That's a good question. If you know the answer, you'll be able to dig to the proper depth your bomb shelter.
Well, because I mean, who can look at what's going on? Look at what's going on in Iraq. Look at what's going on in the Levant, in Lebanon, and Israel. Look at what just happened last week in Mumbai in India, mm-hmm. where it was apparently India's turn to serve as an object lesson in the vulnerability of democracy, because it is the world's biggest democracy. People forget that. India is the right. world's most populous democracy. And there's what do we see from Bush and the usual suspects? We see what appears to me to be a really eerie calm, just like...
Well, that's his disconnectedness, though, isn't it? I mean, he is a very, very ignorant, savage-like little man, and he has, I don't think he has a concept. When he was at the G8, and it's time to go, and he's talking to people about, oh, you gonna fly to Moscow? You mean Moscow's far away in D.C.? Wow, man, it's a big country. You know, stuff like that. He's just a total ass.
But he's also a puppet, and you'd think that in the government itself, in the apparatus of the federal government, that people's heads would be on fire, like George Tenet had been mm-hmm. saying pre-9/11. You'd think that there would be a little bit more concern being displayed by the people in charge. Instead, when we see what's going on right now, the central focus is on Lebanon-Israel conflict, where basically a game of kidnap ping pong has turned into total war, mm-hmm. and the people are trying to use it as a pretext now for the dismantling the regimes in Damascus and Tehran, and won't that be swell? Won't that be a load of fun for everybody involved? And but it's what people have been saying was going to happen for years now, it just seems all too convenient, all too tied up and wrapped in a nice paper and tied up with a nice yellow ribbon, it just seems like things are going according to plan, more than maybe they should. If it was chaos, it should seem chaotic, but it seems more by design.
I understand what you're saying, and I think one of the reasons that it seems to be going by design is because there's such a horrendous lack of leadership everywhere. I mean, take who are the world's great leaders right now? There have been times in human history where great leaders showed up in Africa, in South Asia, in the United States, in Europe. Where are they now? In the Middle East, there have been great leaders. Where are they now? I think part of the problem, I was thinking about this earlier today, is the complete lack of charismatic and righteous leadership. And usually when you have one, you'll have a bunch. You look at the leadership that got together during World War II. I hate to use World War II as an example because I hate war. But if you look at some of the people who organized the rest of the world against international fascism, you see an amazing thing. You know, where's Nelson Mandela? Where's Martin Luther King? Where is Gandhi? Where are these world leaders?
Well, two out of three of those were murdered. Two out of three of the last that you've mentioned.
Well,
that's MLK.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
But their leadership, their ability to combine the political and the moral and the ethical into one movement, into one reality, to me was the amazing thing of their existence. So I think what's happening here is that there is no leadership. There's none. There's a spiritual desert that we're all wandering around in, and by spiritual, you know, I'm not talking about religious.
Yeah. Mike, have you ever read Oswald Spengler?
I haven't. That's
the Decline of the West.
No, that's one of my gaps. I should, and I have not.
I read him a while back, and I've been rereading him lately, and it seems to me like, it certainly, the Decline of the West resonates now, and it's very pessimistic, of course, it's typical German pre-war pessimism, but it's intriguing in its thesis that he claimed that the West had been on the downslide since the Enlightenment, and the Enlightenment kind of sealed the fate of. But in a way, it seems, you know, it's like the more you question things, the more they fall apart under your questioning of them in almost a quantum way. And
isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Which I think shows the inherent muddiness of the structure to begin with.
Yeah.
Hey, Jerky, got to leave it there. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, you take care. Have a nice evening.
Good night.
All right. Thanks for participating in the program tonight, y'all. However you did that. Even that psychopath. What's his name? Mark from Phoenix? Ooh, what a trip. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.